Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Too bad for Thomas. Every year it's the same thing. Second and Sunday of Easter, the same text. And we go through this thing over and over and over again. Just such a cynical guy that he just can't quite get it. Well, I'm pretty sure if we were to look, he looks an awful lot like the rest of us here. Someplace up on a high shelf in the workroom of the office space there in Cross of Christ Lutheran Church in Bellevue, where I was just at, are little plastic cups. They are uniquely made so that instead of using the expensive ready-to-go cups for Keurig machines, you can use these and use your own coffee in them. It looked like it was going to be a great idea. It was the first time that I'd ever used a Keurig machine to get there, and sure enough, and they had these things. Well, it didn't take me long, and I thought, well, this is really convenient. But it also looks like it's going to be expensive, especially the first time that I actually went and bought a box of them, and I said, that's not quite as cheap as I once thought. You know, I'm used to the $3 Melita and filter, and you just keep on pouring it in there. It works great. So instead, I was watching TV. Never a good thing, apparently. And sure enough, an ad that you can if you order right now. Not only, for the same price of one, we'll send you a second set of these cups. One is in black, one is in red, so that you can tell decaf from the regular stuff. So sure enough, I call up. And the first thing they want to know, well, do you want the plain old stainless steel filter, or do you want the one that's gold-plated? It will make your coffee taste that much better. I'm a sucker. So yeah. Sure enough, I get these things and find out it doesn't work. I have no idea. You would think that and something as simple in design as that would work, but it never quite seemed to get in the cup the same way as the regular and Keurig cups did. And besides that, now you have to clean them out each time, and it was hard to get a decent cup of coffee without and filling the thing up to the top, you know. So I learned the hard way. There are times that we want to believe these things. We want to believe that if we get these things, they're going to be as wonderful as we're told that they are, only to discover it doesn't always work like that. So our life is not one of belief or unbelief. It's both and at the same time. We're always and sort of stuck in the middle someplace. I want to believe that this is the year the Mariners get to the playoffs. I've been watching the stories that are coming out of spring and training. I watched that first score on opening day, and yes, this is the year. I have a few doubts now. I want to believe that every time the Seahawks get the ball and they're on a drive and they get down to the goal line with a yard and a half to go, they're going to be able to get it across the line. I believe that. I do. 90% of the time, it's just that other percent of the time happened to be in the Super Bowl. But I want to believe these things, and yet there's a part of me that's just been around too much. I've bought my Subarus from the same place twice. I get great service. This is not an advertisement, but it's Mike Scarf's Subaru. They're the ones who have the ads like, we give you the price of the car up front. No haggling. You don't have to deal with this stuff. And sure enough, they've been in business, you know, for decades. They know how to do it right. You see all the things there that are written down. You see the disclosure of how much this is actually going to cost you across the years when you're making the payments. You see all of those things. This is what the warranty and covers. This is what it doesn't cover. This is how this works. Yes, I get that all. I have complete confidence in what they do there. But when I show up, I still think I'm walking into a car dealership. Buyer beware. We're like that. I love to fly. But there's always a part of me, I sit down and I go through this routine. I know how planes fly, I know how engines work, I know all about Bernoulli's principle and all of that stuff. I know these things have been flying for, you know, thousands of hours. And sure enough, you look at the statistics and the odds that anything is actually going to go wrong are very, very slim. And yet I still think, but you'd never know. I think that Thomas is in the same place. He was a man of deep faith. We see that in some of the other places where he shows up in the Gospels. And yet this was just a step too far. He'd seen it all. He'd seen the feeding of the 5,000. He'd been there when Jesus walked on the water. He was there, I suppose, when Lazarus walked out of the tomb after being dead for 4 days. And yet when it came to Jesus, he said, it's just too much. I can't believe it unless I see for myself. And in this day and age, when we live by that creed, the buyer beware, in most cases we'd say, good for you. It's good to be at least a little skeptical. But here it doesn't work. What does work is the graciousness of God, where Jesus just says, well, Thomas, you asked for this. Look at this. Here's the mark in my hand. Go ahead and stick your finger here and touch it. You can feel the wound in my side. And Thomas didn't even need to do it. He just comes to faith and says, my Lord and my God. I am reminded that we're all there to some degree. We all want to believe the right things, and yet there's always something that holds us back. Times that we've learned that perhaps we shouldn't believe everything we hear. I once had a roommate who was selling encyclopedias one week and cookware the next and vitamins the next and who knows what the next. And he was always believing what they were telling him. You get in with this particular line and people are going to be lining up to buy from you. And he believed it every single time. And at some point, you want to just shake the guy and say, wake up, you know? It's not like that. Thomas is one who got it. But he got it because Jesus was involved in his life. You know, I've spoken to a lot of people, and as they've talked to me about how they have themselves come to faith, many of them have had a place where they've said to God, well, I want to believe, but I'm just not going to buy in until I see this. And they're looking for a sign from God or something, something that's going to be the thing that pushes them over the edge. And sure enough, God does it. God does these things in our life, knowing that we are people both of faith and unfaith at the same time, that at times it's difficult for us to believe, that at times we cling to the promise of eternal life, but then there's some little place there that we says, but maybe. And those are the times that we need to depend upon God. That is, after all, what faith is. To put ourselves in the hands of God and let the faithfulness of God be what we depend upon, not our own ability to believe. It's interesting the way this particular chapter ends. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. It's not an either-or. It's a process. It's learning to trust more and more. It's learning to come to God and say, God, I believe, help my unbelief. It's about those times that we just don't quite know what to think, or what we want to hope for is just too big to ask for. And yet God says, come to me. Here I am. I am the risen Christ. That for us is our good news. Amen.